The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Download Adam Sank's last comedy album on Amazon, iTunes, or Google Play.
We're already in the shower together. The risk has been taken. If I don't blow you, the risk will have been for nothing.
Warning. The program you're about to hear contains highly offensive and indecent material.
Ryan, pull down your pants.
JB, you start sucking.
The host, a comedian of questionable talent, speaks incessantly on topics of a sexual and scatological nature.
I will fuck you, but I will not eat you.
I want that fucking dick down my throat while I'm dicking him down.
Okay. I hope my mother's listening.
Your ass became a rosebud?
Yeah, that's because I got dicked down real good.
He asks questions of his celebrity guests that are highly inappropriate and rude.
Which of you has a bigger penis?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a fun, good one.
Going down on the clitoris?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I like where you're going with this.
For some reason, the word strap-on just comes right out of my mouth, Bianca.
Yeah, you said come and strap-on at the same time.
And he cannot stop talking about his buttocks.
I think your butt is telling you, no mas, por favor.
This is the Adam Sank Show.
If it's in my hand, I'm going to suck it.
Powered by DNR Studios. And now...
the one, the only, Adam Sank!
Bottom.
Yes, it's me. Welcome to the Adam Sank Show. We are coming at you live for the second week in a row. If you're listening at 11 a.m. Eastern on Saturday, February 1st, 2020 at dnrstudios.com, the only place to hear this podcast live and throughout the week that it first airs. Leave us your ratings and reviews on iTunes or wherever else you listen to this ridiculous podcast. Email me at adam@adamsank.com. Like the Facebook page. Download the two comedy albums. Check out my newly redesigned website at adamsank.com. And if you're listening live, and I'm not saying you are, give us a call at 844-825-5367. Also, come see me. Me, live in Oakland, California. I will be the celebrity MC, quote unquote, of Elder Pride 2020, specifically the Elder Pride Gala, which is Saturday, February 15th. Visit the Elder Pride 2020 Facebook page for more information and tickets. Today, we have a fucking amazing show. First of all, we have a brand new guest co-host. You're going to meet him in a second. But second of all, our guest today is the legendary Honey Davenport. The fabulous Honey Davenport is here in studio for the first time since she was on RuPaul's Drag Race. We had her once before, but she hadn't yet been on the show. She's coming in. She's dropping a new single. She's talking out of school. She's telling tales. I am so fucking excited. But first, it's time to introduce our brand new guest co-host, one of my closest friends, a huge fan of the ass, Mr. Esteban Cházaro Medina, otherwise known as Steve Cházaro. Give it up for Steve, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
Steve, are you so excited to be here?
I am the most excited person in the world at this very moment. I feel like my fandom has come full circle.
You really are a fan.
Like, too big.
You and your husband.
We've been listening, I don't know, when did you start the show? Like, 2 years ago?
We started in 2017.
Okay, so not 2 years ago, but probably after I found out you were on. Is it 2-3 years? So 2-3 years, and then we are weekly listeners. We do not pay and subscribe, but we do subscribe.
Whoa. What you mean?
I mean,
you're a fan of the show and you don't pay and subscribe.
So she's a cheap lady, and we all like a good coupon, and the coupon of Apple Podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm promoting. Thank you, DNR, for having this lovely space. Please subscribe and pay for this lovely opportunity.
It's $6.95 a month. Do you pay for Netflix?
Yes.
Okay, you know it's cheaper than a Netflix subscription.
I know.
And a Hulu subscription.
All right, let's not shame our guest co-host. It's his first time here. We don't want to make him feel unwelcome. But
I'm sorry, everybody.
I'll tell you what, we're going to finish the Facebook Live right now because you bitches are not paying. Once again, subscribe to dnrstudios.com. Otherwise, just wait a week and listen on iTunes. Talk to you later. Bye. Bye. Okay, well, Steve, right. So did you watch the Grammys?
I did not, but I heard a lot about it.
Are you like a pop music guy?
I am, but I'm not an award show type person. Mm. The only thing that I watch is the Tonys, which I know is not currently, but the Grammys, I just listen to the music, but they can win their own awards and I will appreciate whatever awards they win.
I am an award show guy, but I'm probably least interested in the Grammys of the four major shows, only because I don't know really what's going on in pop music anymore. I'm like really old. I feel like the last time I really knew all of the artists that were popular was like 1999-ish.
And oh, wow.
Now I'm kind of like, I know who Ariana Grande and Demi Lovato are, but I can't really tell you which one's which or who sings which song. I mean, I actually know Ariana better because she had such a huge year.
Yeah.
But like, I couldn't name one Demi Lovato song. Billie Eilish, like,
I've Cool for the Summer? No.
Means nothing to me.
Oh, God.
Like, Billie Eilish, I've heard her songs. I don't understand sort of the phenomenon that is Billie Eilish. I feel like she's just whispering into a microphone. Sing out, Louise. but it was, I thought, I only watched the first 2 hours, but I thought Alicia Keys was amazing.
I heard she was really good. She had the guy that just died, right?
Kobe.
So
he had just died, and it was in L.A. where the award show was happening, and L.A. was really devastated.
Right.
She just handled it with such grace, and she wasn't reading from a prompter. It wasn't scripted. She was just talking off the top of her head, but she's really a lovely, gracious, intelligent person, and she handled it. It was the right tone. It was solemn. It was respectful, but it wasn't like maudlin.
No.
You know? So I just want to give a shout out to Alicia Keys. I've always liked her, and she's so talented. I don't want to see her host any other award show because she's kind of like, her energy is kind of quiet.
She's a quiet piano player.
But she's perfect for that award show. Yeah. Anyway, as I said, our guest today is Honey Davenport. I am so excited, and Ryan is eating his motherfucking heart out that he cannot be here. The first time we've ever had a Rue girl in studio on the show.
Sorry, Ryan.
Ryan is in Tulum, Mexico, with his boyfriend, Boy Wolf, smoking copious amounts of marijuana. Snooze, you lose, bitch. But we're going to start the show, Steve, with some very good news that just broke a couple days ago, which is this. The pride flag emoji will soon be available on your smartphone.
Ooh.
It's coming to phones this year, 2020. There's this like consortium, this Unicode consortium that decides which emojis are going to exist and what they're going to look like. And it's a standardized thing. And there's been a push to add the trans pride flag, which is hard to say. It's part of, the pink, white, and blue trans pride flag emoji and the trans symbol emoji are two of the 117 new emojis that the Unicode Consortium will release in 2020. Uh-oh, JB, can you deal with that? You turned my mic. Okay, it's back. So this is amazing news. It's a huge step for trans visibility. And, T. Ugolo, a trans person who works at Google, I love the name T, was one of those who spent years trying to get the trans pride flag emoji added. And they said, I don't know if it's they or he or she, today we concluded 4 years of lobbying to get a trans flag emoji for trans folk being able to say transgender in an emoji and to be out and proud and let their allies visibly support us is a huge deal for our community.
Absolutely.
So congratulations. Yeah. I feel like this has been the decade of trans people.
I mean, the visibility is just so huge these days. Everywhere people are coming out as trans, or you see them on TV, or you hear about it on the radio, or you hear there's more and more rights. Well, for trans people, I feel like our rights are being taken away.
Well, everyone's right. Their rights are being taken away too. But
they're also gaining a lot of ground too.
Yes. In terms of visibility and cultural acceptance, I feel like what gays went through in the 90s, the trans community is going through now, and it's such an important thing because the first step is just people have to know you're there. They have to know you exist, and then they have to feel like, oh, you're just a human being.
Yeah.
You're a human being like me. There's no big difference. This is, you know, this is you. This is me. We can all live together and what the fuck?
Yeah.
So eloquent. Meanwhile, more good news. So in 2015, as everybody knows, the Supreme Court made same-sex marriage equality the law of the land, or marriage equality, I should say. There's been a study, and since then, teen suicide attempts among LGBTQ teenagers is down. Suicide is the second leading cause of death for all U.S. teens. I kind of want to know what the first is. I'm thinking...
Sepsis.
Sepsis?
Have you heard this? It's like 1 in 10 people die out of sepsis. I could be making that quote up, but I'm pretty sure I just read this article that globally, people die of sepsis more than anything else
in
the world.
It's pretty uncommon in the United States.
Right?
And I don't think teenagers especially are it's
susceptible to sepsis.
But anyway, suicide's the second leading cause of death. It's much more common among queer youth. 29% of teens in a study who were queer reported attempting suicide, compared with just 6% of straight teens. But this new study published Monday in the Journal of the American Medical Association Pediatrics analyzed data of 700,000 public high school students. And what it found is that in the 32 states that enacted same-sex marriage before it was legal nationwide, suicide rates dropped 7% among all students and 14% among gay kids after the laws were passed.
Wow.
So it's – you know, these things are related. When the law and society says you are okay, you belong, you can be accepted, it really does have a dramatic impact on how we feel about ourselves, and especially how young queer people feel about themselves.
Yeah.
So when people say like, oh, you know, gay marriage is going to like change the culture. Yeah, it does change the culture in a good way.
No, I totally agree.
And now, because Ryan is in Tulum, Mexico, as I said, inhaling giant clouds of smoke, we are going to go to Steve Cesaro, our fill-in RuPaul's Drag Race correspondent, with an update.
Shantae, you stay.
So there's been a lot of things happening in RuPaul Drag Race, the RuPaul world, or fandom, as Ryan calls it. Hi, Ryan. So the first thing is the alumni have slammed the show for lack of trans for season 12 cast members. Detox and Carmen Carrera and Aja all spoke out on Twitter, on all the social media, about the absence of trans contestants in season 12. So as we just found out with the emoji, transgender inclusion has become kind of the big push for a lot of different people, which has been great. But what we do know is there actually was one trans person, Peppermint, that she was out in season 9. And I believe the only person that came in as trans, right, I think?
No, Pep actually transitioned, like announced that she was transitioning on the show.
So they haven't had one. Oh, okay. So I
think the only one who actually came in as trans, Gia Gunn, did All Stars, and she, by that point she had transitioned.
Right. But originally, right, she was a drag queen.
I believe so. Yeah. And same with Carmen. Carmen and Pep both came out during the course of their season.
Yeah. So there was, you know, they'd all posted different things. Detox posted, quote, enough with the feigned inclusivity, time to start putting your money where your mouth is. Carrera said, RuPaul's inclusion of trans contestants is an evil use of power, comparing Ru to Hitler, which was, not great, and as a false prophet and an antichrist of the LGBTQ community. That's pretty...
Seems pretty strong.
that's a thought. And she was just saying that RuPaul is erasing a safe space for trans people to thrive in the world. So not the best.
Here's my thought about this. RuPaul definitely has said some problematic shit about trans people, and particularly this business of like, oh, well, if they're pre-op, it's okay, but if they're post-op, it's not. Like, that's garbage, and I think she was rightly called out for that.
Yeah.
But in terms of casting for a new season, to criticize the fact that there are no trans contestants assumes that there were good trans queens auditioning.
Right.
Like, you can't just put someone on the show because they're trans. That's tokenism. You have to find the best contestants you can find. And the fact is, most drag queens do identify as cisgender men who dress in drag for performance sake. And it's not the norm. Not that there's anything abnormal about it. It's just numbers-wise, there aren't that many trans queens. And so to put one on the show just so you can say, oh, look how inclusive we're being, it's kind of like if it's like saying, well, we don't have enough people of color, so we're just going to like recruit these three people of color, even though they're not going to be able to compete. Just find the best people. And I know that sounds like a very conservative argument, but
It is a numbers game.
Well, I actually totally agree with what you're saying. I think it's sometimes because trans people are really fighting hard to find a place wherever they want to be included. And, you know, it's like a hard line to say just for the sake of trans, we need to find a trans representative. But I agree with you 100%. Like, out of the pool of the people that auditioned to be on the show, out of that pool, how many were trans and how many were actually good? Not to saying that trans people can't be good. I'm sure there's some amazing trans people. They just haven't been found or discovered or had the opportunity to be on the show yet. So if you're out there, go audition and make it on the show.
And I think what RuPaul and World of Wonder could do is they could certainly do an outreach and make it very clear that they are welcoming of trans women and that they will not discriminate. And they have not done that.
Right. And I guess there's also that thing, like, how can they have the opportunity if they're not even given the opportunity in the first place? So maybe outreach, maybe some sort of like just like a trans day come out. I don't know. I'm just throwing shit out there. But it seems to be like they haven't found the right competition in the trans community to be a part of RuPaul's Drag Race.
What else is going on?
So let's see. We've got Miss Cracker and Kim Chi starring in a Super Bowl commercial for Sabra hummus. Come on, hummus.
I love hummus.
A little hummus. And they were quoted as said to be the first drag queens. But what I love is the shady response from RuPaul.
Yes.
She just simply posted on Insta her WebEx commercial. And she said, I quote, my Super Bowl commercial from 2000, end quote.
Right. So in other words, the reporting on all the gay blogs like LGBTQ Nation was that, oh, my God, there's going to be two drag queens doing a Super Bowl commercial. This is a first. This is so historic. And I got all excited because I thought it was the first. And RuPaul was like, not so fast, honey.
Right. She's like, here you go. Simple sentence. Going to let you all know I was still the first. Period.
But regardless, I love the fact that there's going to be all of the, like, millions of straight men, Trump voters, beer drinking, you know, in, with their Confederate flag hanging on the wall. And all of a sudden on their TV screen is going to be Ms. Cracker and Kim Chi. Like,
but you
know
what?
Lose their fucking minds.
For all those fuzzy bears that are drinking beer, eating a pizza, watching these, who believe that they love football, come on, my bears. They're going to love seeing a good old queen on a commercial eating some hummus.
By the way, we should tell the audience that Steve is a giant bear lover. I mean that literally. The more giant, the better.
If you're hairy, if you're bigger,
Steve,
come meet me.
Steve is here for you.
Hello.
But he's also married, so don't be too aggressive.
I mean, aggressive is fine. Anyway.
Yes, so then tonight, something historic is happening.
Right. So RuPaul will be hosting SNL Live for the very first time. That's actually February 8th.
Oh, shit. Well, that's when most people will listen to this episode.
Oh, got it.
Because the freeloaders listen on iTunes a week later. But yes, you're right. It's a week from tonight.
Some people have very strict budgets, Adam Sink. Anyway, so that is all I have for you. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, so tune in. Now, RuPaul has been on SNL before, but only making a cameo. This will be the first time she hosts. And as Simon and I discussed a couple weeks ago, the big question is, will she be in drag or will he not be in drag? And if he is not in drag, it's not going to be funny.
So what I've heard is, as long as she's getting paid, she will be in drag. If she's not getting paid, she's a boy.
But as I pointed out, SNL doesn't pay a lot to host. Usually the hosts are being paid for by their own production companies, whatever they're promoting, whatever they're plugging. I think they just make scale. So unless World of Wonder shelled out, who knows?
Right. To be determined.
All will be revealed. Speaking of SNL, Adam Driver hosted a few weeks back, and I love Adam Driver. I loved him on Girls so much. I've seen him on Broadway, or off-Broadway, actually.
He was on Broadway.
Angels in America. Yeah. My God, what an amazing actor. And also just like a great guy, great backstory. Anywho's, he was on SNL, and he delivered this kind of offbeat monologue where he was very chill. He was like making faces in the camera and kind of just saying nonsense, but it was very funny. There was music playing behind him. And he made one comment that made news in the queer community. Take a listen to this.
I'm just trying to drag this out because honestly, there's a sketch at the end of the show that I really don't like. So I'm hoping this goes long, it'll get cut. I play a woman in it and I can't tell if it's really transphobic or just really dated.
Wow.
So people are wondering, like, was he telling the truth?
was there really a sketch at the end in which he was going to play a woman, and was he really bothered by it, and that, and is that why he extended the monologue? And if so, you know, a lot of trans people and queer people are applauding, saying, you know, enough with SNL having men play women, and you know, they've definitely been very transphobic in some of their sketches in the past. A lot of people in the trans community are offended by the character Pat, played by Julia Sweeney. Pat, you're too young to remember Pat. Pat was a person who was sexually ambiguous.
Yes.
And no one could tell whether Pat was male or female. And the whole joke was that everyone was trying to find out. And so they would say, like, Pat, what kind of magazine would you like? We have Vanity Fair or Sports Illustrated. And Pat would be like, don't you have people? Like, their answers were always, I feel like criticism of Pat is off base because Pat wasn't trans. Pat was just a person that didn't reveal their gender, and it drove everyone else crazy. The joke was on everyone else, I felt like, not on Pat. But anyway, so this came out, and then people pointed out that Driver's monologue was only 5 minutes in length. And if you look at other recent SNL monologues, Eddie Murphy's was 6 minutes, Scarlett Johansson 5, Jennifer Lopez 5, Will Ferrell 6. That tends to be the standard length.
Yeah.
So there's probably no way that an entire sketch was cut. You know, sketches tend to run 5 to 7 minutes.
And they have backup sketches too, right? So maybe after he said that publicly on air, they made an executive decision to have one of their backup sketches go on. I don't know.
They do twice as many sketches at dress rehearsal, and then they only keep the ones that got the biggest reaction. So they actually do two shows. They do three shows every night, and they end up showing one of them live. But I feel like if he really had a problem with it, he could have just told them during the week, and they would have cut it.
Right.
You know, if the guest star doesn't want to do something, they don't do it.
And there you go.
And there you go. But I do like him. And oh my God, we are really early.
He's like giant, though. Have you seen how tall he is?
Yeah, he's super tall.
He's a massive man.
And he's one of those people who, like, he shouldn't be sexy, but he's so sexy. Do you know?
Well, I think it's because his features are just so extreme. Like, he's got a big head. He's got, like, this honker
of a Picasso painting.
Right? And you just look at him and you're like, why am I sort of attracted to you? But at the same time, you're kind of busted, but you're also so adorable. It's very confusing.
And he's got a hot body.
Yes. He was just in that show at, not the Helen Hayes, what's the theater by the Millennium Hotel? Anyway.
The one that Wicked's in?
No. This is the one on 44th between Broadway and 6th. I can't think of what it is. The Go-Go's show was in there. And now there's that weird... God, I see all these shows and I can't think of what it is.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, he was in a show there and he was naked half the time. He was hysterical. He was so funny. He played kind of a drunk man that was having an affair with a woman. You know, chaos ensues as it always happens. And you see him naked quite
a lot. Was he penis naked?
No.
Oh.
I know. It's kind of sad.
I want to see it.
I know. Google.
Google Adam Driver's penis and see what comes up. I'm sure JB is doing it right now.
No, he's not... You guys find him attractive. I don't. He's kind of – who's he remind me of? Keanu Reeves. That's who he reminds me of. And I don't even like Keanu Reeves. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
I think he's such a better actor than Keanu Reeves. And I think Keanu Reeves is a good actor. But Adam Driver's like – I think Adam Driver's like the Dustin Hoffman of his generation.
Oh, Dustin Hoffman.
Except without the sexual assault. Sorry, Dustin.
I take it back.
You know it's true. He's real. He had some terrible shit come out.
Really?
Do you know that during the making of Kramer versus Kramer, which is one of the best movies ever, such a good movie if you guys want to stream something from the 70s, from my youth, he and Meryl Streep play a couple that's divorcing. She leaves him. She basically abandons him and their child and just leaves him with the boy for like a year. And then she comes back and wants to adopt to live with the child again, and he fights her in court, and there's this ugly custody battle. But it won like every Oscar. Even the 7-year-old kid was nominated for an Oscar. The performances are great. But it was Meryl Streep's – one of her first big movies. She had just done The Deer Hunter, and I think she had done Woody Allen's Manhattan. Anyway, And Dustin,
Woody Allen, another.
Yes. And Dustin was already an established, I mean, he'd been famous since the 60s. So he apparently was vicious to her throughout filming to ostensibly to get a good performance out of her. Like, he would make her cry. He would scream at her. He would tell her that she was a terrible actress and doing a terrible job. And there is a scene in the movie where Dustin and Meryl meet at a bar. This is after they've been separated for a year and she's just come back. And it starts out very warm and cordial, and you can tell that they both sort of have feelings for each other. But then she drops the bomb that she wants Billy to live with her. And Dustin Hoffman's character becomes enraged. And the last thing that happens in the scene is he stands up and he goes to leave, and then he turns back, takes the glass he was drinking out of, and throws it against the wall, and it shatters. Oof. That was not in the script. She was not expecting it. He did not tell her he was going to do it. There was glass in her hair.
Holy shit.
And if you see her in the scene, she's clearly terrified when he does it.
Wow.
It's not your place as an actor to be mean to someone or draw that. That's the director's job.
Where, exactly.
Like, stay in your lane. Stay in your goddamn lane.
Exactly.
Well, did you hear about with Joaquin Phoenix and the Joker that there was this article that came out that the director was telling all the other actors, like, we know we've blocked it. We know we've done this. We know that the scene is ready, but Joaquin's going to do whatever he's going to do. Just be ready. They had to tell the drivers. They had to tell the stunt doubles. So there's this scene where he's getting beat up, where he wasn't supposed to fight back. And all of a sudden, he fights back and he starts kicking. So there's a line in the movie that says, oh, we've got a kicker here. He wasn't supposed to kick. He wasn't supposed to fight back. And so the bruises and the punches are real. They are not staged. And it was this whole thing. And the director's like, well, that's just what you get when you get Joaquin. And,
yeah. And on the one hand, like, I respect anyone who's a great actor. I mean, it's something I could never do. And I get that, like, you really have to lose yourself in the character, and you have to feel everything the character is feeling if you want to give a convincing performance. But when you start harming other people, that's where it crosses the line. And then Dustin was also accused of sexual harassment in multiple cases. There was an actress he was in a play with on Broadway years ago who claims that, like, they were in the wings together about to do the scene, and he kept putting his hand up her skirt and, like, fondling her. So it's so upsetting because I love him as an actor, but he sounds like such a dick. Anyway, we're going to do a couple more stories because I don't know how we whipped through these as fast as we did. I think
I talk very fast.
You talk fast, and Ryan really takes his time with the RuPaul Drag Race.
It's the clouds of smoke that is constantly circling around.
Exactly. It takes him a little while to compute. But so here's a couple stories. First of all, we will do this story. A pro hockey player named Zach Sullivan has come out as bisexual.
Come on, Zach Sullivan.
He's not an American. He's a Canadian hockey player with the Manchester Storm, which is also my porn name, Manchester Storm. And in a statement released on Twitter, the 25-year-old says he hopes that by coming out, he'll give other hockey players around the country the same confidence to do the same. I looked him up because I wanted to see what he looked like. He's nice looking.
Yeah.
He's not quite as sexy as my bisexual hockey player fantasy would be. But
you turned on the lights just so you could get just a glimpse. You wouldn't have to really take a hard look at him.
Exactly. I mean, he probably has a nice puck. Ooh. Anyway, his tweet was met with over 5,000 likes, 800 retweets, 400 comments. You know, Canada is a very gay-friendly, way less repressed society than the United States. So his teammates supported him. And his fans are supporting him. So I did a little research. Yep. Whenever we do a sports story, I need to do research.
Come on, sports.
Because I don't know anything. In the U.S., we have the National Hockey League, the NHL. No NHL player has ever come out.
Wow.
It's one of the few sports where no one's come out yet. There have been a number of professional women hockey players that have come out. That's a shocker, I know.
I mean, hello? Not that I'm typecasting, but
I don't want to – like, it's so offensive to lesbians to say this, but, like, when a female athlete comes out, is anyone really that shocked? Anyway, what else? A couple of men from other countries did come out, have come out. Unfortunately, two of the most prominent ones met with terrible ends. One of them was killed in a car accident. Oof. And another was murdered in a, you know, gay panic type situation where the assailant claimed, like, oh, he was coming on to me and I freaked out. So that might dissuade people from coming out. But hopefully we'll have our own American hockey gay soon enough.
It'll happen.
In the meantime, congratulations, Zach Sullivan. Yes.
I had no idea it was such a big thing, especially in the States. Who knew?
I think it's big among white people.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I don't root for any sport. I don't give a shit. But I think hockey's the one that, like, that's what white people like
to watch.
You
are absolutely right. Right? You are absolutely right. Unless they're
Canadians. Are there any black hockey players in the NHL?
Let's look. I'm on Google.
Hockey and ice fishing.
Yeah. And it used to be golf, but then Tiger Woods became the greatest golfer ever. So it can
tennis
change.
Has also changed.
You had Arthur Ashe a million years ago. But tennis is ruled by the Williams sisters now. Meanwhile, something is seriously wrong with Madonna. Something new, I mean. Listen, I love Madonna, but she has canceled multiple
shows.
Apparently,
they are black people in hockey. I'm looking at tons of pictures of them.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Are they hot?
No.
No. Not one?
No. Not
so
one.
Sad.
Here. Look.
I mean, yeah. There's not a. I mean, that one. This guy in the green looks like he might be hot.
Yeah.
It's hard with those uniforms. They're not flattering the way football uniforms are.
They're not great.
They're all padded up. It's hard to see what's in there. But anyway, so Madonna has canceled multiple shows during the U.S. leg of her Madam X World Tour. She's also been very late to the stage many times.
I've heard.
Recently, she was set to hit the stage in Lisbon, Portugal at around 8:30. But at 7:45, it was announced that she would not be coming out on stage, marking the eighth show on the tour that has been scrapped.
Wow.
And you know Madonna is a workhorse.
Yeah.
Like, she will fucking do that show if she has to drag her old bloody carcass on stage to do it. She posted on Instagram, "Sorry I had to cancel tonight, but I must listen to my body and rest." Lady, stop. She's also been posting photos and video of herself using a cane.
Oh, wow.
Meanwhile, fans are not having it. In Lisbon, one fan posted, "bitch," while giving the middle finger in a video that garnered more than 1,400 views. They wrote, "she canceled. If she's not capable of handling this tour life, it is time to stop and adapt."
Well, shade.
I think that people are being rather unsympathetic.
I mean, how old is she now? She's in her 50s?
Oh, no, 60s.
I mean, you're...
Alexa, how old is Madonna? And by Alexa, I mean JB.
Right. But, you know, it's like performance. After a while, I mean, you give your body and you just work and you work and you work. And at some point, something's got to give. I mean...
She's been working her ass off for years. Now, if she's not well, don't go on tour.
She's 61.
61 years old.
She's young.
Has the body of like a 30-year-old. And like I said, I do love her, and no one has more of a work ethic. So something must really be wrong for her to be canceling all these shows. But I get it. Like, you pay all this money and you finally get to see Madonna live and then you show up. I mean, people were in the arena and then it's like, oh, she's not coming out.
I've heard it was a very like Cirque-centric show where it's kind of, she does a lot with her body. So I wonder if her body just can't handle
that
type of...
She always does. She sets herself up for these impossible stunts.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not about the singing, let's be honest. But you know, and then she can't do it.
Yeah.
Because she's fucking grandma.
She's a gorgeous grandma.
Is she a grandma yet?
Lourdes
and Rocco must be of childbearing age now.
They're still in high school, aren't they? Didn't they just...
I don't think so. No, I think Lourdes is like 20 now.
Wow.
Because Madonna was pregnant with her during Evita. What'd you say, Steve?
She could still be in high school. Come on, Evita. I love Evita.
Yes.
Anyway.
All right. I think we're going to do our LGBTQ Pride update and then get to our guest segment. I cannot wait for it. Ooh, turn that music down, JB. This week, in the world of Pride, they are celebrating Auckland Pride in New Zealand. It's actually been going on. Well, actually, yes, it starts today. It goes on for 16 days. They party for 16 days in Auckland. Meanwhile, in Reykjavik, do you know where that is, Steve?
Not a clue.
It's in Iceland.
Oh, there it is. It says it right here on the rundown.
It's the Rainbows Winter Festival, and it's still too loud, JB. In Reykjavik, February 13th through 16th. And finally, down under... just like New Zealand, it's Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras in Australia, February 14th through March 1st. Our fabulous guest is dancing to the music of Anne Steele, because how can you not? All right. And now, finally, our guest today first appeared on The Ass back in April 2018. At the time, She was already one of New York's most famous and beloved drag queens, but then she appeared on season 11 of RuPaul's Drag Race and became world famous, darling. In 2019, New York Magazine named her one of the 100 most powerful drag queens in America. She just dropped a new music video to her song Raw and Unfiltered, and it's available exclusively for subscribers on her Drag for Fans page. Here's a taste of Honey Davenport. Bullet with my click, like click, click, click. Picture this, you could double click, blah, 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 bitch. Right, right, in my highlight, she done ready had hers. Miss Honey D, raw and unfiltered. Bullet with my click, like click, click, click. Picture this, you could double click, blah, 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 bitch. Right, right, in my highlight, she done ready had hers. Miss Honey D, raw and unfiltered. Oh, ooh, oh. Joining us now live in studio is the legendary Honey Davenport.
Come on, legendary.
Honey, thank you so much for coming. Thank you, a studio audience. It's about time. They were stunned that you were here. They couldn't even move. Thank you for coming back.
This is so much fun. It was so much fun the first time, so I'm excited.
Put your face right in that microphone.
Right, oh,
put my face. Pretend that it's a big, thick dick.
Oh, shit. You know, I love to put my face in something. I've been in New York for like 4 days, and I haven't even gotten laid here yet. Can you believe that?
Well, we are going to change that after
the
show.
I know, right?
I always forget how beautiful you are as a man.
Oh, shit. Thank you. Stop. Keep talking.
I get nervous talking to you up close.
Really?
Cause, yeah, because your face is like stunning, and I kind of want to lean over and kiss you.
Oh, that's always, I appreciate that. I told you I haven't gotten laid in the last 4 days. So.
Maybe at the end of the interview, we'll kiss.
Oh, yeah, I'm down for that. Oh, okay, yeah, there we go.
Put I think that would be good for mouth. Ratings. If I made out with Honey Davenport, we'll do like a little Facebook Live.
Yeah, I'm on my Instagram Live right now.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, hello, Honey's Insta fans.
Yeah, say hi.
Hey, what's up? It's Adam Sank on The Adam Sank Show. And this is Steve Cesaro, my guest co-host.
How's it going? Nice to see you.
Yes.
By the way, honey, our regular co-host, Ryan Frostegg, is the world's biggest Honey Davenport fan. And he's very sad that he's not here. He's in Mexico with his boyfriend.
Oh, but come on, Mexico with your boyfriend, though.
I know. But they're staying at a trashy resort where they hate gays.
Oh. What part of Mexico is that?
Tulum, which is, I'm sure, lovely, but they picked like a cheap-ass hotel.
No. You have to go to like the part where they like the gays and they like to play with my uncircumcised penis.
Exactly. Well, Steve says it's something called bear dip.
Right? Beef dip. It's beef dip.
Oh, beef dip.
Yeah.
Did you know what beef dip
is? I don't know what beef dip is.
So all the bears from Canada and the United States go down to Puerto Vallarta, and there's parties, there's themes, there's disco nights, there's white parties. Everything that you can imagine that's beefy and hairy and lovely. And
I love
Do you like big boys?
I love all boys, first off.
Good for you.
Yes, I love big boys. But I just recently, this is so weird, because Shangela just texted me, and she was like, hey, want to come to Puerto Vallarta with me? So I think I might be going to Puerto Vallarta really soon with Shangela. That's insane.
Nice.
Right?
Kind of, are you going to perform with her?
Yeah, I think so.
So fun.
Yeah.
Do you ever get to just go on a vacation, or do you always have to like work for your supper?
It's like sort of like workcation normally, but I get to go see the gayest, best places in the whole entire world.
Yeah.
And every time I go, it's like I was dancing over here. I was dancing because two of the places you listed, Auckland and Sydney, I was just there. Like, I'm always at like the everybody's big event.
At the best time of year to be there.
At the best time of year. It's really, really an incredible life.
Have you done Tel Aviv Pride yet?
I haven't, but ooh.
That's my dream.
Ooh, Tel Aviv. Boys,
all those big circumcised dicks. That is exactly what I want. Honey, you've been working your ass off on your music.
Yeah. It's that's my dream. Like, that for me has always been the goal. Like, I started started releasing music the same time I started doing drag. So both of those things have always gone hand in hand for me. Like, I've always seen Honey Davenport as a recording artist who is a drag queen, not a drag queen who makes music.
So that's like, because you were known before you even did drag, you were known as a dancer.
But I also had, it was far less possible for me to release art, but I've released a full album with my own rock band.
Right.
4 years before the, 5 years before the show. Uh-huh. I've released other singles. Like, literally the day I created Honey Davenport, I also released my first single, which was Porcelain Doll with Boy Radio, who produced it, like on his garage band. So, like,
I love Boy Radio.
Back, like, the day she was created, she also had a song. You know.
So if someone said to you, like, okay, you get your choice. You can sing, you can dance, you can act, or you can do comedy. You would pick singing.
As long as like sucking dick was in that category. At
hey now, nothing wrong with that, honey. You, that horse is really excited. You went home from Drag Race far too early.
Oh yeah, well you know
we all agree.
Well, listen, I thought so too until I realized like what my life is like afterwards. And a couple more episodes of that show would have been really lovely, but the fact that I got to say that I did it and then give the world my own narrative through my art, that has been the best experience that I could ever ask for. Like, my fear, like, legit, my biggest fear going into RuPaul's Drag Race was, please don't have me on this show and be one of the girls who are not a thing. Like right. don't let me be one of the girls who just get yeah. overshadowed. Like, let people either hate me or love me, but make them feel something about me. And it was, like, my hugest fucking yeah. fear. And you normally have to face your fears in life, because I definitely look boring as fuck on that show.
I don't think so. I mean, when you watched it, first of all, did you feel like it was a fair edit? I always have to ask that.
That's a good question.
I mean, everything that you saw happened. Did I do more than that? I think we all know that they film for hours and hours and hours and hours.
Right.
I think that for what I gave them and the storylines that they chose to pinpoint, I don't think they did anything bad to me. So,
right. And again, I always say, if you come across as a cunt on camera, you probably are a cunt.
Right.
And you're not.
Right. I think that, you know, I never imagined that I'd have to defend that I was a good singer or a good performer. And I definitely don't look like a good singer or performer on RuPaul's Drag Race. So
in that like, what was that Bible sketch where
yeah.
you all had to? It was a weird premise.
Yeah. It was quite interesting.
And you guys had to do Mariah, right?
Yeah, which is funny. Like, I just like yeah. I feel like I know I don't live in a world where I like study pop stars like, you know, eating habits and the time of day they shit. So like me in a challenge like that was just strange. Like I was like, who cares about somebody else's life that much? But like what I did do that didn't air, and I will talk about this for the first time ever.
Ooh,
I wrote this really.
This is an exclusive.
I wrote this really cool Mariah Carey like monologue before the shitty song that we performed. And I did that, and it was like really good. And that, of course, no, that is not there. but yeah,
because they have to make it look like you either fucking killed it
yeah.
or you were a disaster. They can't show someone who was just kind of in the middle or right. had some high points and low points.
And in my mind, I was amazing, but like, I mean, I typically think I'm amazing. So like, I could have actually been a disaster.
You have to as a performer.
Yeah.
You can't, if you didn't think you were amazing, you couldn't do what you do every night.
Yeah. It's really hard to do it and doubt yourself. That's for sure.
So it sounds like though, regardless of what went on there and the fact that you went home on what, episode 3?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter because it changed your life for the better. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like before RuPaul's Drag Race, like I said, it was really hard to create. I didn't have the financial means to do so, or even really survive.
I think of you at that time as like you were every night of the week. You were on a New York City stage, and yet you were still struggling.
And a new costume, bitch.
Right, like, that's the thing. It's so fucking expensive.
And I was being really, really stupid with any kind of income that I had, and I also was a party girl. So like there were other
Come
things.
like the money was going to bad places.
Yeah, for sure. So I mean, I definitely wasn't taking care of myself. I definitely was over drinking, and I definitely, you know, entertained a few favorites, not any of the bad ones, no capital letters, but not that I judge. Everybody has a story, you know.
You enjoy playing in the snow once in a while.
I did. I don't anymore, but I do.
Good
that part
you.
Of my life was really fucking fabulous.
Are you sober?
I don't drink at all. I do live in California where marijuana is legal.
Good
so,
for you.
Yeah, I'm bi-coastal now. So.
Can I tell you, I think, like, I don't smoke pot anymore for my own reasons, but I think smoking pot is so much better for you than drinking or doing any other kind of drug.
Yeah.
If you got to do something, smoke a natural plant that grows from the ground.
Right.
It's got no chemical additives.
Right.
It's not physically addictive. And no one ever, you know, got stoned and suddenly became violent. You know, like,
oh,
it's
yeah,
a
you
nice
just fall
drug.
Asleep. Yeah.
Unless it's video games.
Exactly.
Oh, can you play video games? See, I don't even play video
I
games.
Used to.
But if I could play video games stoned, that'd be That would be so hard.
It's literally the best feeling. It's like everything's coming at you in real life, and you feel what the character's feeling. It puts you in the zone.
I used to feel that way about smoking pot and watching porn. Yeah. I feel like those dicks were coming right at me.
Oh, I like smoking.
Is that how you got that welt in your head?
Yes.
I have to be pretty stoned to bottom. That, like, that's a requirement.
Oh,
like,
so it helps so much, doesn't it?
Like, I give me stoned before I bottom, because this is not
done.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Some choose poppers, some have to smoke pot.
I mean, pot and poppers?
Pot and poppers
is a good time.
That's just a big open hole.
That can be a good time.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
This was Steve last night.
Favorite sound in the entire world.
Exactly. Honey, can we talk about the monster?
Yeah.
So I want to say it was like a year ago.
Probably a little more than that.
Year and a half?
Yeah.
You posted on social media a number of screenshots. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll let you tell the story because it's your story. And you'll tell it better than me.
Okay.
Get closer to the mic, though.
Get closer to
the mic.
Please. Yeah. So I used to work at the Manhattan Monster Bar. It's such a weird thing that you even talk about now, because it's so, I've moved on so far from it in my life. And I hope that the monster has too. I worked there for almost 6 years.
You had your own show.
Yeah. I ran two parties there, one which I just hosted, and another one which I like co-produced sort of with Mitch Farino. And I'm like, it was definitely a great part of my life, but I definitely experienced a slightly different treatment because of the color of my skin on many occasions. And I brought it up to my general manager. It wasn't the first time. And it's not abnormal treatment for any establishment in New York. To be honest, like, the Monster wasn't the only place that I experienced that kind of racism here. It's real. It's America. Like, we're not surprised at that. But what did happen was something was put in text form. And that, like, bitch, I was like, I got you. Like, seriously? Like,
and
you're
not going to
text me some racist shit. Like, know that I'm going to pop the fuck off.
It was about the men who were being depicted on a flyer for the show, a poster. And the text was something along the lines of, like, there's too many dark people in this picture.
Right?
We don't want this crowd.
Right. So yeah, it was that they said that the men on the picture needed to be replaced by, beautiful men. And that, implying that the people of color weren't beautiful on it, and that it looked like it was a poster for a black party, which was bad for business. So,
and this came from your GM?
From the GM. And so then I actually saw screenshots of that because it was sent to Mitch Farino, who was at the time managing me and running the party. And so he sent it to me. He's like, I'm uncomfortable looking at these text messages and not sharing them with you. He shared them with me. I originally just quit and was like done with it. Then I called him back and
I was like,
fuck that. That doesn't do anything for the state of the world. Nobody should have to deal with this. You know what? I actually have a platform. They want a performance out of me. Mm-hmm. I will give them one that actually might make a fucking difference in the city. And I think that it has.
You literally dropped a mic.
Yeah.
In the middle of your set.
And the performance of it all was that I exposed the racism that happens at queer establishments all around this country, but especially in this city. What?
Is there a way to silence that?
Yeah. I was just trying to, like, keep my Instagram on, but I guess I just have to. I'm sorry, Instagram. I have to go because.
No, stay on Instagram. Just silence the phone. You know how to do that, right?
Oh, no.
Here, I'll do it for you.
All right.
So keep telling the story.
So. Yeah, so...
Oh, shit, this is an Android. Oh, wait, hold on.
Oh, no, it's not. It's an iPhone, bitch.
I got you. I'm silent now.
Oh, word. Okay. So, I exposed what happened. I dropped a story of that on my Instagram. And I quit the Monster because nobody deserves to be fucking treated that way. Nobody deserves to be text messaged that way.
And I made
a point of that.
And after you did that, which I think was really brave and really important, there was a boycott. And of the Monster.
Yeah.
Steve and I belong to the New York City Gay Men's Chorus. We used to have events at the Monster all the time. We don't anymore because of you.
And I literally said in my speech where I quit that, like, my intentions here are not to say to stop supporting the Monster. Like, I'm saying that if they don't want my friends at their parties, then, and I don't want it to look like my friends can come to their parties, then I won't be here. I mean, I don't think that their advertisements have changed very much. They do run nights with go-go dancers who are mostly people of color, and they do still mostly have fairer skinned people on those advertisements. I don't endorse that place. I don't have anything against them. I hope that as time goes, that they continue to do things that I think they're great, like hire the dope-ass GM that they hired or bring parties in. Like,
is there a new GM?
There is a new GM, and he's great.
What about the owner? Because I know he was sort of part of this problem.
The thing is, I wrote to Charlie, and I said to Charlie, I'd like to squash this because, you know, Mitch had got a cease and desist letter. That he was going to be sued, and I was like, I want to end this. So I also sought out legal assistance of my own, and just to make sure that like I wasn't going to get fucked up. And when I was talking to the lawyer, they were like, "You have two options here. You could sue because you have experienced racism, or you could like barter a deal and negotiate your way to work at the Monster again." And I was like, you know what that would mean for my community if they would say like, I am actually sorry and going to take the steps that it takes to fix this problem.
Right.
And I said, yes, but here's the thing. I quit publicly. Yeah. I would want that apology to be public.
Absolutely.
As well. And I went through offering that chance for the owner to apologize to me in public, and he refused. And instead of apologizing to me, he blamed the whole situation on Mitch in an article. And
right, I saw that.
It's like Trump blaming the whistleblower.
Yeah.
Right? It's like you're not at fault for telling the truth about a problem that's going
on.
Yeah,
it's like
it's the person who's causing the problem.
This could have been so much smaller, which is why like when it came up when it went even further, I was just like, "Okay, he doesn't want to apologize publicly. I don't want to sue. I don't want anything to do with that place anymore. I'm not telling people to go there. I'm not telling people to not go there. I don't fucking care. They sent me racist text messages and I quit. End of story." Like, you know, and I quit publicly, so hopefully they never fucking send racist text messages to another person again. That's all. You know, like, I don't think that they are bad people, but they did a bad thing, and they never apologized for it.
And as you said, this is part of a bigger issue. This isn't even about the Monster specifically. It's about the New York and other cities, the bars and the clubs have a culture of discouraging people of color from frequenting their establishments.
Right.
And from depicting people of color on their marketing materials.
Right.
And that's a problem.
That's a problem because, you know, we're spending our dollars here and you want to see our dicks flop around on stage because they're bigger. Not always.
Is the stereotype true for you, honey?
It's very true for me.
All right.
I'm black and Dominican. So, like, it's like playing like a cute game of origami every time I tuck.
How delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the time remaining, it's time to play everyone's favorite quiz show, Ask Me No Questions.
Oh, shit.
Whoa, that's not the right music. Come on, JB.
Ask me no questions.
Ask me no questions.
Yes. I think JB got distracted thinking about your black and Dominican origami
dick. Definitely got distracted for a quick second. I was like, oh.
I mean, we can turn that in the show.
We can turn this into an after show after.
Steve's up for it. All right, honey, which podcast host would you most like to fuck?
Out of the three of you?
Or the whole universe?
Oh, out of the whole universe. Oh, gosh. I don't know the whole universe of podcasts. Like, everybody has a fucking podcast.
I know. Basically, it's anyone you'd like to fuck.
I mean, I think you could definitely get that.
Yay! I'm so happy that was the right answer.
Okay, good.
What's the? I think we may have just talked about this, but what's the worst gig you ever had?
The worst gig I've ever had? I mean, I even had some good nights at the Monster, but like the worst gig I've ever had.
Like the single worst night when you showed up and you were like, this is bullshit.
Oh, okay. I can say this now, but it wasn't like the establishment's fault. It was totally mine. It was the old Boots and Saddle one day, but I showed up. But the night before, I had went to a Lady Gaga concert and I did Molly. So that was the worst thing
oh, God.
I have ever had in my entire life. Cause like Lady Gaga wasn't there anymore. Neither was Molly.
I once did a comedy show coming down from Ecstasy and it was the worst been on stage.
Yeah, it's the worst. I walked into the old Boots and Saddle and Frosty Flakes, who was a drag queen in New York City, said hi to me. And I was like, how dare you say hi to me? Do you always say hi to me when I walk in a room? I was tripping.
Wow.
On the way down.
Ay Dios. All right. Who's the greatest drag queen of all time?
The greatest drag queen of all time would be... fuck. That's really a real-ass question. The greatest drag queen of all time...
The one who's inspired you the most.
Well, the one who's inspired me the most. I mean, let's be honest. Let's be real here. RuPaul is the blueprint. Yeah. She is the blueprint for what drag and success are. Like, that's really real. But to call her the greatest drag queen of all time, I think that, like, I consider Marsha P. Johnson as a drag queen, and she's done a lot for me as well.
Yes.
Lady Bunny is an awesome drag queen, and even though she did not take my side at the monster, I hope to forgive her for that one day. And she's done
a
lot.
She's a Bernie bro. She's problematic for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's crazy on Twitter. She'd rather Trump get reelected than anyone other than Bernie.
That's really
in other words,
strange.
It's got to be Bernie or fucking she's going to vote for Trump. Like, she's insane.
That's really strange. But, you know, it's funny that sometimes even our ancestors, wow, just.
Shade.
Even the older people in the queer community who have been progressive, like Lady Bunny, I think of her as such a fighter. And like, to see even her stance on things like the monster, it was just really disheartening.
But look at Roseanne. Roseanne used to be a hero of working class, poor people, you know, women, gay people. Now she's fucking right-wing troll. Like, people go crazy, I think.
And I want to say that I do still love and support the Lady Bunny. I just didn't like her.
I do not.
Yeah.
Honey, what's a lie that you tell all the time?
I still like and support the Lady Bunny.
That's the best answer ever. Hilarious. Name something.
Well done.
Name something really annoying that fans do to you all the time.
Fans always ask me all the time, RuPaul's secret I have for them, or what RuPaul is like, or my favorite least favorite thing is, was RuPaul nice to you? Like, who the fuck cares?
They want you to spill tea on RuPaul.
They
want
to know if she was nice to us, like, not specifically spill tea on her. Like, they just want to know if she was kind. Like, it's always just the strangest fucking question. It's like, why does everybody want to know how she treated us? Like, the things she said to me were aired, and they were so little that I can't even.
But I think they're asked, because I'm curious too. Like, off camera, does she speak with you at all, or is she just in her own little palace?
I think that you see everything that is, like, you see a piece of at least of everything that we experience, you know? And, like, so it's always just like, it's like, what the fuck? Do you think that, like, you know, she, like, chilled with us and had pizza afterwards? I mean, like, come on. Do you think that Simon Cowell does that with the cast of American Idol? Like, you know, like,
I think the narrative.
She treated us the same as any other reality show host does.
I think the problem is there's two narratives with RuPaul. One is that, like, she's this amazingly evolved. He's this amazingly evolved, sensitive person who really cares about other people and, like, really roots for you guys and wants you to succeed. And then the other one is that, like, he's garbage and he only cares about the money and the ratings and doesn't give a shit about anyone but himself. And so we all want to know, like, which one is true?
Well, I will say one thing that is true. RuPaul picks each contestant herself. So, like, how is she not rooting for us? She self-picked every person.
And once you're on that show, you have a world of opportunities that you didn't have before.
How is she not rooting for you after that? Like, that's not fake. So that I will say is real. She, like, has said that to our faces. Like, I picked y'all personally. Out of the thousands that were submitted, I picked y'all.
So be grateful.
Right. Like,
JB, how much time we have?
We have about 2 minutes.
2 minutes left. Okay, quickly tell me about your project with Aja. I know you did a song together.
With Aja.
I'm such an asshole.
I'm releasing a new song with Aja on the 21st of this month. It is a social justice piece. It's a call to action. It's the, like, kind of the less, like, hurrah of my music that I consider, like, the protest part of my life. It's called Draw the Blood, and it's inspired by a Martin Luther King quote, which is, in the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends.
Amazing.
It's a really good stance for, and a really good, I think, explanation of how it feels to be a person of color and watch people say nothing.
And you can see and hear Honey's music on her Drag for Fans page. I'm going to kiss you now. Can I kiss you?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Right. Is your Instagram still on?
Mm-hmm, it is.
Steve, you narrate what's going on.
I have coffee breath.
So they are making out. They are, and there's, eyes are closed.
This is the most action DNR student has ever seen.
Adam's mouth is amazing. Very. Oh, there's tongue. There's tongue. Is this church tongue?
I think we should probably end the show.
We got
that was so much fun. That was the first. An ass first, Honey Davenport. Yeah. Oh my God, I'm so flustered. Thank you so much for being on the Adam Sank Show. Steve, you're going to be back with me in 2 weeks.
Yes, I will.
Our guest is going to be the amazing Peter Page from Queer as Folk. JB, thank you. I don't even know what I'm saying. I'm so high on that kiss
Next
right now.
Next time I'm back, I have to make out with your butt. Yeah.
Honey, you are going to kiss that ass. How do people follow you on all the webs?
Yeah, you can follow me at Honey Davenport Official on Instagram. And you can check out my website, officialhoneyd.com. And get my merch on drag, queenmerch.com.
I love you, honey. Next week, listen to me and Simon Mathis. We'll be talking to the Mindless Chatter guys. Subscribe to dnrstudios.com. Email me at adam at adamsank.com. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Steve, how do people follow you?
S. Cesaro Medina, both on Facebook and Instagram.
And JB is Stocking Anarchy 12. Love you all. Bye.
Bye. Bye, Instagram.